This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Courtney is back after what turned out to be a very traumatic experience on jury duty.
Yeah.
I find myself shocked that you were so looking forward to it and it created massive amounts of anxiety for you.
Anxiety and just sadness. Like, I didn't leave thinking, wow, like I did something great. I left just with just this feeling of sadness. That's the only way I can put it.
I mean, it's not your fault.
We talk about kids all the time and younger people that are finding themselves in bad situations. And I don't know what the right answer is, but I just hope that people get the help they need.
I can't believe you never want to serve on a jury.
Never.
That was one of your dreams. It was on your bucket list.
Yeah, I never, ever, ever want
imagine
to.
Imagine if you were in a high-profile case like the ones that you love.
Imagine
if you were in the Koberger case.
Is that ever going to happen, by the way?
I don't know.
It keeps getting delayed. But even like the Luigi case, whenever that comes to trial.
Elizabeth Warren's favorite person?
Yeah. Karen Reed's second case.
Yes, but I just don't know how. And it's so crazy to sit in a room with 11 other jurors and realize you just have such differing of opinions on everything.
Did you get along with everybody on the jury?
Mostly.
Did you have the nicest bag?
I didn't check out everybody's
bags. Who didn't you get along with?
There was just one that was so adamant on going against this defendant, and it was from the start, and was really being rude in the way in which she spoke to others.
She was trying to take control. And
I would say almost everybody else was so respectful in the way that you dealt with each other.
She was the alpha,
and she was really. She would just talk. She talked down. It seemed very condescending every time she spoke, and then when the verdict was read, she starts crying in the courtroom.
What
and I'm
a
like,
fraud!
I'm like, what am I? What, am I living in the Twilight Zone? Like, it was this impacted you so much after you were like kind of yelling at me, 20 minutes ago.
Oh boy! Yeah.
Is there a lot of conversation going on, like debate in there?
There's
like,
none until you start deliberating.
Right, when you start deliberating, can you like really see how different people see the world?
Yes.
And was there a lot of debate?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And people bring different life experiences in, and that's why they make up a jury of 12. But
yeah. Well, we're glad you're back.
I am so happy.
We are glad you're back.
It's
a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and Boomer Esiason coming up in a half an hour on the current state of the New England Patriots and the NFL this week. All of that with Boomer at 8. But right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Where do you want to start this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, good morning. Let's start with what Teddy Bruschi had to say about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, by the way, very lucky today in this neck of the woods, thanks to a horrible Patriots loss. We can't talk about the desperation that is clearly seeping from his pores.
Well, we can. I'm assuming that you are referencing the Diana Russini report that he apparently called the Jets looking for a job.
Yes, he did. And then it was confirmed by multiple people. And then followed.
Yeah.
Yes. And then followed up by Jonathan Jones of CBS said he specifically called Mike Tannenbaum, who works for the 33rd team, who's conducting the search for the next GM job. And Tannenbaum's like, yeah, I'll set you up with Woody Johnson. And then next thing you know, Bill's like, no, I'm going to go take the UNC job.
Was he using his own voice, or was he like using a different voice?
So can we finally and at last say this is what he wanted?
I mean, what, to coach in the NFL?
UNC.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's the only place that he could get full control.
Right.
And there wasn't interest. Curtis, there was not interest in the NFL. Well, I understand that, and I acknowledge that. It's weird to me, but I don't think
he's holding out hope, though, because in the contract, the specifics that came out, he has like a buyout.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So,
$1 million, Greg told us about. Oh, a million, or then Shime disputed it.
Well, it's $10 million for the first six or 7 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's $1 million. He can get out of there. But yeah, I mean, I wonder if he was like disguising his voice when he called and saying like, Bill Belichick is still available. I don't know if anybody down there has thought of calling him. He might be interested in a job. Hang up.
I wonder why he would call. Like, that's Lombardi's job description.
Right,
like,
right. And it should be Matt Patricia's job description.
Shime had a great point, I think it was during the break, about when Lombardi referenced the son of the owner dealing in analytics. I thought he was referencing the Jaguars and Shad Khan's son, because that's what he does. But Shime theorized maybe it was the note taker in the suite that Jonathan Kraft is the analytics guy. We know he speaks at the Sloan Convention or conference every year at MIT.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a shot at Jonathan.
That may be who he was referencing. I mean, Wiggy was on this early this morning, but Wiggy's analyzing what Jonathan Kraft is taking notes on in the suite yesterday, and seems like it could be the roster, could be the
call sheet, could be like the first quarter halftime stats. I don't, clearly there's more involvement into the football on field product with the ownership than when we might have seen in years back. And we know that because Mayo sat here and talked about how he meets with Robert Kraft about just their football fans and football stuff.
Well, every week after every game. All right, anyway, Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi talked about Bill Belichick coaching at UNC. Here is what Bruschi said this weekend.
What are we doing here? I mean, with Bill Belichick going to coach North Carolina, I mean, college football, there's only one bowl game I want to see Bill Belichick coaching, and that's the Super Bowl, okay? I don't want to see him coaching some lawnmower bowl in December or January. I mean, that's just not who I am. I mean, this is a guy around this table so many times about poorly coached football teams, okay? And the NFL just let the best go. I don't know how there wouldn't be any interest as to where you bring a Belichick in and he makes you come immediately relevant and well coached by who he is. Would he make one of these teams that needed a head coach this year an immediate contender? I mean, yes, he would. He is that good. Now, he's not going to be on the level of six championships, New England Patriots, or anything like that, but your team would be competent from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, there was a piece in The Athletic over the weekend, Curtis, which really talked about that whole control thing and about how there were just, it seemed like most owners, most GMs, whatever, were reluctant to give him anything other than a role as head coach. So,
but that's the new league. That's the kind of the new league of, and everything is kind of all. When I played, there were more head coaches that had their hands in more things than they do now. Like, even what we when we played, they said it with Bill Parcells, who was here in 96, when he said they want you to cook the dinner, but at least they let you shop for the groceries. There were more coaches back then who said, okay, if you want me to coach, I need to have my hand in everything. Now the way the league has kind of moved in a direction, the owners, they want to be able to say, we have a hand in some of it, and we're going to separate the coach from who maybe the decision maker might be when it comes to personnel. And Bill is not built that way.
I don't think that there were many coaches who were able to leverage themselves into the spot that Bill was, where they had total control of the whole entire organization.
Right.
Like, I don't.
And that works too.
Parcells had a lot of control. But when I played for Parcells, he had a lot of control.
But that works. It relies upon trust between the owner and the one in control, where they don't have to worry about cronies being hired or not communicating with your offensive coordinator for multiple weeks or not talking to your coach. Obviously, Bill Belichick is a much better coach than Gerard Mayo, and obviously he's a better football mind than Bob or Jonathan Kraft. It's that this organization was listless. It was Bill was checked out because the owner was meddling in ways that were not supposed to be allowed in his contract. And Robert was mad that Bill wasn't doing what he asked him to do. He wasn't debriefing. He wasn't wearing the lapel pin. He wasn't winning. And that's where that ended. I don't think it'll never happen again. I just think that if you're 73, you're asking for total control of an organization.
And you're only there for like 3 or 4 years.
And they're looking at what the Patriots look like right now when you were in total control for the last 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
They say, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, they ain't giving that up.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, over the weekend as well, the Heisman Trophy was presented to Travis Hunter of Colorado. And his speech after receiving the award was excellent. Here was a portion of that where he talked about his father. Here was Travis Hunter.
And I want to say something to my father. He's not here to be able to make it, but I know you're watching on TV. Dad, I love you. All the stuff you went through, man. I look at your oldest son. I did this for you, man. All the times that you didn't get to see me. When the time you came to see my games, from not seeing probably 2 games in high school to seeing me on TV every weekend and coming to see me, man. That means so much to me. I know you wanted to be here and you can't. But trust me, I got you. I'm bringing the trophy home. I love you.
Now, did his fiance yell at him because he mentioned his father and not her first?
No.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
She's nuts.
They were dragging Travis for the father situation, too.
What?
Because they're like, because there's a video of the dad watching it.
They're like,
where is the dad that he can't be there?
Well, right? You have no idea what.
I know, but I'm just telling you how people are in the world of social media. They're like, where is he that he can't be at this?
Well, I mean, honestly, with Wiggy, like, if your son is winning the Heisman Trophy,
right? Unless
it would
you're
have
locked
to
up.
Be like, yeah, penitentiary or you know, bubonic plague.
It doesn't look like he's locked up.
Right.
This is the video if you're watching on Twitch of his dad watching Hunter's speech.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So, and I think a lot of people like, where's the dad? Like, why are you not there? Or you know,
maybe there's a health situation. Like, there's a million.
I'm not saying there. All I'm saying is that's the world. Like, you ask, like, well, this is the world we live in. Here's a speech, a great speech.
I mean,
from
it's his son's biggest day of his life.
Yeah, and there's gonna be that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe if I were Travis's dad, I'd be like, here's why I wasn't able to travel.
And it can't be some crazy illness. He's around a million people, so he's not making them sick.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, next, we saw last week there be some, it seemed like there was some drama between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Wiggy had even suggested, oh, maybe the Patriots can go acquire A.J. Brown. Well, yesterday, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown laid the hammer on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jalen Hurts threw for 290 yards, and this is how he began his press conference yesterday.
So that's what y'all wanted to see, huh?
Jalen, you said you'll figure this out. Is that what we saw tonight?
We found a way to win the game.
I mean, they are peaking at the right time.
Yeah, but there's a lot of trouble over there.
But it doesn't seem to affect them on the football field.
No, but there's certainly. Did you see the head coach and the D-line coach basically in each other's faces? You know, look like they were ready to come to blows. And then you have the A.J. Brown and the Jalen Hurts. Yes, you won a football game against a good football team. But there are things, and we talk about it here all the time with the head coach. and just the presence in the locker room and the relationship between players and head coaches and players and players, there's a lot of stuff going on in Philly. If I'm a Philly fan, I'm like, where, what are they, 11-3?
11-2.
11-2, and there's all this kind of like dysfunction going on. What's the problem?
I don't think this is dysfunction, Wiggy. I think this is just how they operate. Like, it's just very chaotic. And it may look like dysfunction to us on the outside, but for them, it's like controlled chaos. It is just
But when you got the head coach and the D-line coach basically almost, you know, coming to blows, that's controlled chaos?
I think so. I mean, dude, this team is like running on all cylinders. Everything is working. And it's even though like AJ Brown makes a comment about the passing game and then two receivers have over 100 yards in the next game. It's just everything they want to do works.
I want to tell you right now, the Eagles are not winning the Super Bowl. And I that's the thing that bothers me, because I want Bill in the NFL. If he would have been willing to give up power, if Sirianni loses, that is ready-made for a guy like Bill to enter that locker room, who will command respect. Sirianni's out there, you know, having a family reunion at the press conference. You have Bill in there. His kids just work for him, not at this dais. And it would be what an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, rather than be coaching against, you know, Georgia Southern.
Also, Chime, correct me if I'm wrong, the Steelers have not won in Philadelphia since like 1965 or
something. I believe so. I believe they're like 0-9 or something in their last 9 games in Philly. I'm not sure the exact number, but yes, it has been quite a while since they last won in Philadelphia.
I've been to Philly twice. Both times it felt like I lost. What an absolute
the city stinks, but this football team is really, really good.
It is kind of cool, though, the way they have all the stadiums in that one area.
Yeah. Want some water?
It's
the Rocky Steps, very cool.
Your biggest celebrity is a made-up character.
It is cool. You just, you know, everybody goes to the same place for all the games.
Oh, right.
That's
infrastructure is a foreign word to us.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Chime?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay. All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. We will get to Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And then the news with Courtney at 8:20, and the 12 days of Chris Curtismas continues at 8:45 this morning. Curtis is regifting all holiday season long, so make sure you're here, and you could be a winner at 8:45.